Welcome to Bedtime Stories with Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Deborah, but some of my grandkids call me Nana Deb, so you can too. Hopefully you are all ready for bed. Snuggle up and let's read some stories before sleep. Ten Ways to Hear Snow, written by Kathy Camper, illustrated by Kennard Pack. The very first page inside the book has a star shape, or it might be a snowflake shape. It's made up of leaves, though. They look like they might be grape leaves. Some of them are placed in a circle in the center, and then out from the in between those leaves are other leaves, and the way they're all placed makes them have a star shape or a snowflake shape. When Lena woke up, everything was quiet. Here's Lena's room. Long brown curtains come down from the top of the window to the floor. The bed has a white spread on it, and the bed itself is painted red. Over the bed, there's a mobile that looks like the solar system with the sun and planets. Around the room, there are toys and books. At the window stands a little girl. She has long, dark brown hair, a yellow t-shirt, and brown pants, and it might be in her stocking feet. Outside the window, everything is white. No cars honked, no buses chugged, no garbage trucks gulped trash across the street. Snow! Last night's blizzard was gone, leaving the city muffled and white. We see the neighborhood that she lives in. All the houses have deep packs of snow on top of them. The cars are covered with snow, too. The streets only have a few tracks where maybe a few cars have tried to get through, and the leaves are all gone off the trees, which have snow on their branches. But today was grape leaf day, when Lena would help her grandma make warak anab. Sitti was losing her eyesight, and Lena loved helping her cook. "I want to tell Sitti about the snowstorm and make sure she's okay." Lena is walking across the floor on the upstairs part of the house. She's in her stocking feet and carrying a long woolen scarf that's brown with orange stripes on the end of it, and she's heading towards the stairs to go downstairs. Once she gets down there, she's near the front door. "The snow's so deep," Lena's mom said. "We could go with you," Lena's dad offered, but Lena wanted to go to Sitti's by herself. "Stay warm, Habibi," her dad told her. Lena bundled up. She's saying goodbye to her parents, who are standing by the front door. Her dad is handing her a bag as she goes out. Now she has on boots and a warm cap and a warm coat. Outside, the sun on the snow was as bright white as a light bulb. Lena squinched her eyes and pulled her scarf over her nose. She could barely see. "I wonder if this is how Sitti feels," Lena thought. The world sounded softer, but the noises she heard were clearer. Scrape, scrip, scrape, scrip. What was that? It was Mrs. Watson's shovel digging out the sidewalk. That's one way to hear snow, Lena thought. Lena walked down the street. Snick, snick, snick. The noise was low to the ground. What was that? It was the treads of Lena's boots crunching snow into tiny waffles. Two ways to hear snow. Lena ducked under a pine tree. Poof! A powdery sound. A blue jay on a branch had knocked down snow. Three ways to hear snow, Lena counted. She listened for more. The picture that goes with this page shows a tree, a pine tree, and up on one of the branches is a blue jay with a big bunch of feathers on the top of his head, and as he's landed on the branch, he knocks a bunch of snow down. Lena is looking up at it. Swish, 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 swish. What was that? That was a whiskery noise. People were sweeping snow off their cars. Their brushes made the fourth way to hear snow. Out on the sidewalk, we see Lena walking along, and she's watching her neighbors that are all bundled up, standing by their cars with scrapers or brooms, trying to get the snow off so they can get started in their cars. Lena cut across the park. Scratch, 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 scratch. Another snow noise? Lena saw long, skinny tracks by her boots. Ahead of her, people were skiing. Their skis made the fifth way to hear snow. Rashid and Mariam were building a snowman. Pat, 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 pat. What was that? It was Mittens smoothing the snowman's head. The gentle sound made the sixth way to hear snow. Two children are standing, and they've already got one large ball of snow for the body part of the snowman, or the bottom part of his body, and then another little bit smaller ball of snow, and then a very small ball of snow on the top with a carrot stuck in it. That's probably the snowman's head, don't you think? Lena keeps walking across the park while other people are skiing, too. As Lena walked away, her friends whispered and laughed. Thump! Oh, no! Lena ran away fast from the seventh way to hear snow. Can you think what it might be if they were laughing and running behind her, and then something almost hits her made out of snow? They're throwing snowballs. Lena reaches City's building, all out of breath, her boots covered with white powder. Stomp, 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 Lena giggled. She was making the eighth way to hear snow. Now, Siti must live in an apartment or maybe a retirement building with other people who are older. The tree outside is bare of leaves, but there's snow still falling. And there are two double doors into this building. When Lena gets inside, there's a desk with a red lampshade on the lamp on the desk. And then there are a group of older people sitting around a table. Lena is standing on the rug. A lady at the desk says, "Hello, Lena," the lady in the lobby said. "Go on in." She pointed toward Lena's grandma's room. Lena tapped on the door. "Surprise, Siti, it's me. I came to make grape leaves with you." Lena threw her coat and mittens on the radiator to dry. "Wonderful, the lamb and rice are ready," Siti said. Now, Siti is an older lady, and she has kind of short white hair. She's wearing blue slacks and a brown sweater, and she's hugging Lena in this picture. But we can tell from the way the picture is drawn that she can't really see out of her eyes. Lena and Siti walk down the hall towards the kitchen. They're holding hands. "Yala, I can't wait," Lena shouted. "Let's get started." Lena rinsed the grape leaves and placed them on towels. Lena and her grandma are standing over at the sink, and Lena's doing the washing of the grape leaves while her grandmother holds onto a bowl. The grandma has a red and black apron around her. "Put some filling in the center, roll them up, put them in the pot." And so there are four pictures here on this page. One of them has the letter A by it. It shows the flat leaf with the filling placed in the middle. B picture shows the sides of the leaves being folded over. C picture shows the leaf being rolled up in a roll. And D shows that you tuck the end leaf into the parts that have been rolled up so they won't come apart. "They're like little grape leaf cocoons," Lena said, looking at them piled on the plate.
"Or lots of little sleeping bags," CT replied.
We see the two of them sitting at a table, working on this project together. "Ah, mine looks like a mustache," Lena held her stuffed grape leaf under her nose. CT held hers under her nose, too. "That's good," she wrinkled up her face and said. "We look like a couple of real tough guys," in a tough guy voice.
Now there are several pictures showing CT and Lena, and they're kind of acting things out. They're making motions like they're tough guys. And Lena has her phone, and she's taking pictures of the two of them.
CT, did you know we had a blizzard last night?
Of course.
Lena was surprised. How could her grandma know when she couldn't see very well? Then she heard a noise. Chip, chip, went the mittens. It was the sound of snow melting. Nine ways to hear snow. Suddenly, Lena understood how CT knew.
CT, did you hear the snow?
CT smiled. Each morning, I opened the window and listened. Today, everything sounded hushed and soft. No noise is the sound. That means it's snowing.
They are sitting at a table in front of the window where we can see snow falling outside. There's a bowl of salad and some vegetables, and there's also the wonderful grape leaves that they have stuffed.
CT, I listened too. I heard snow nine different ways. Shovels were one, boots were two, the blue jay was three.
Slow down, Habibity. I want to hear them all. But right now, shh.
CT went to the window and opened it again.
Listen, she said.
Outside, the late blue afternoon was completely still. At the window, Lena can see what's happening. She can see the pale blue sky, and she can see the houses with snow all over their roofs and all over their lawns. But CT is just standing beside her, listening to it.
Quiet is the tenth way to hear snow.
Now they're outside, wrapped in their scarves and warm hats and boots. And CT can't see the snow, but she can feel it falling on her face, and she can sense that there's so much quiet because the snow is covering everything. When the world grows quiet, we learn to listen. The end. Papa's Mark by Gwendolyn Battle Levert. Illustrated by Colin Bootman. On the first page of the book, when we open it, there's a wooden fence. And on one side of the fence, there's a brown cow with white spots on their back and sides, and a big white spot that goes down the middle of their face. And around the cow, there's a sign that's been tied with some rope or string. And it says, "Vote, vote, all men of color, vote." When we open up the book, inside, there's a picture as if we were up in the air looking down over a town. The sky in this picture is yellow, not blue, and the distance is green, where we can see off to other little towns in the distance. But the town that is closest to us has muddy streets. It has a few trees and some green growing on the ground. The buildings aren't very nice. They're kind of old and dilapidated looking. There's a church in the middle of the town, and then there's some houses all around it. Daylight crept over Lamar County. Sims and his papa were going to town. The wagon went bumpity-bump along the road. They passed large fields with grazing animals and small wooden houses that were still dark. As they rode, the fields became smaller and the houses closer together. Finally, they reached clusters of buildings decorated with voting posters and waving flags. This was election time.
"Look," yelled Sims. "Vote, vote."
"Simmer down," said Papa. "You'd wake a sleeping dog."
Sims laughed. With each bump, he bounced happily up and down in the wagon. The men in their community met once a week to talk about the election. They met in the church and at Sims' house. Sims always stood by his papa's side. Papa pulled up next to the general store.
"Jump down," said Papa. "No time to waste." Smells of apples, oranges, onions, potatoes, and peppermint candy met Sims at the door. Now we see the wagon pulling up outside this store, and it's drawn by a horse. Papa has on a wide-brimmed black hat and a jacket that has print on it, and Sims has on a black and white checked shirt. And there are several flags flying around these buildings and lots of signs that say, "Vote." "Samuel T. Blow," said Mr. Jones, the storekeeper. "You're here mighty early."
"Morning," said Papa. "Our weekly shopping trip. Sims got the list."
In a clear voice, Sims read. Mr. Jones filled the box with supplies. Papa stood by, looking on.
"Well, now," said Mr. Jones, "election day in a few weeks. You colored folks must be mighty proud."
"History in the making right here in Lamar County," said Papa. Everybody stopped. Papa was a man of few words, but when he spoke, it was important.
"My papa couldn't vote, bless his soul, but he knew if not in his time, in my time."
Sims looked up and smiled. "That's everything on the list."
"Not yet," said Papa. "Do you want a piece of candy?" "And take a voting poster, too," said Mr. Jones.
"Yes," said Sims.
Now, this is an old-timey shop, not like grocery stores we go to now. The picture shows a counter with a scale where they would weigh out how much fruit and potatoes would weigh. And behind Mr. Jones, who owns the shop, are bunches of shelves, and they have coffee pots and coffee grinders on them and empty bottles, and they have big pitchers and containers that you would cook food in. In front of the counter is Sims with his papa standing right next to him, and Papa has his hand on Sims' shoulder.
"Thank you, Mr. Jones. Thank you kindly," said Papa. He picked up the box. Sims trailed behind him. "Samuel T.," called Mr. Jones. "Put your mark here."
Papa turned around. Every Saturday, Sims watched Papa put an X on the pad. Sims' gaze fell to the floor.
"Come on, Sims," said Papa, moving toward the door.
They rode home in silence. After the wagon stopped, Sim said,
"Papa, let me show you how to write your name. Then you'll never have to make that X mark again."
"Sims, you got work of your own," said Papa. "Now help me carry these groceries inside."
They're still sitting in the wagon while this conversation goes on. That night, the men huddled around the kitchen table. Sims looked into scared faces. He listened.
"There's trouble brewing," one man said in a low voice. "Some folks don't want us colored folks voting." "Freedom don't come easy," said Papa. "My papa taught me that."
"You go on or die," said another. Sims stood up and waved the voting poster.
"I'm helping," said Sims. "Every house gonna get one of these."
The men laughed. The meeting went on. Sims went to his room to make posters. In the kitchen, there's a very plain table. There are mugs on it, and there's a woman in a long white skirt and long-sleeved white blouse and a white hanky or scarf tied over her hair. She's pouring coffee into the mugs. The three men are sitting around, and they look very serious. They are all African-American people, including Sims, who's walking off with the poster that he got at the store. And now he's going to copy it. Soon Papa called.
"Morning comes early, get in bed."
"All right,"
said Sims, blowing out the light. Twisting around, the sheets and blankets went all witch-away, the golden glow flowing from the kitchen, the short and tall shadows moving, and the mumbling voices kept Sims awake. Tiptoeing up to the door, Sims saw Papa hunched over some paper. And now we can see the boy, Sims, who's in his nightshirt, peeking through this wooden door. The house is built like a cabin inside.
so the walls don't have paint on them. They're just wood slats. And he's looking through the door towards the kitchen where his father is sitting with a pencil in one hand, looking down at a piece of paper. Behind him is Sim's mama in the white dress that I told you about. And she's got her hands on the dad's shoulders and she's looking down at him.
"It'll get better, Samuel," said Mama.
"This writing looks like chicken scratch," said Papa.
Mama laughed softly.
"Well, mine looks like red hot chili peppers. The letters jump all over the paper."
"When I vote," said Papa, "I'm going to write my name to get my ballot."
"What you doing?"
said Sims, jumping into the light. Papa looked up. Sims ran back to his room and leaped into bed.
"Papa, my eyes just keep popping open," called Sims.
Papa walked in. He pulled the homemade quilt around Sims. Sleep came. Before school, Sims wrote Papa's name perfectly. He left the paper on the kitchen table. That night, Sims peeked around the door as Papa worked. He saw Papa trying to copy his clear, neat lines. But in the morning, Sims saw chicken scratch. A few days later, Sims found Papa at the table.
"Sims, come over here," said Papa. "I just can't seem to write the letters like you do. Can you help?"
Sims guided his papa's hand across the paper. Papa watched every curve.
"I can read my name," said Papa. "Now I'm going to write it with your help."
Every night, Papa hunched over the table, slowly tracing the curves of his name. Every morning, Sims checked Papa's paper. Soon election day was just around the corner. After school, voting posters were hammered on every house and tree. Even the animals had posters around their necks. The picture here is crossing two pages, and now we see that cow we noticed at the very beginning, plus some other cattle, and all of them have these signs tied around their necks. There are signs hanging over the fences, too. In the background, we see some farm buildings and some very tall trees with lots of green leaves on them. The night before the election, the church was full of men.
"Who's going to go with me to vote?"
asked Papa. The men mumbled and groaned. No one agreed to come. A tall man said,
"We all got families. Who's going to take care of them if we gone?"
"It's just one day," said Papa. "They'll be fine."
"Some folks mighty angry,"
another man said. "We scared what they might do."
Everyone muttered in agreement.
Papa said, "We go in peace. We go in unity." The room was silent.
Sim said, "Papa, I'll go with you." The men left. The meeting ended. Now, there are a whole bunch of men sitting on the benches or the pews inside the church. And because this is a poor neighborhood, and this happened a long time ago, the heating for this room is a potbelly stove, which is a black iron kind of barrel, and it has slats in it so that you could put wood inside and light it, and the heat would come out of the slats to warm up the room. The men are all sitting, and they're looking at Papa. But they all look like they don't want to go. The morning came. Papa and Sims were quiet as they got ready to go to town alone. Then Sims heard voices outside.
"Samuel T! Samuel T!"
Papa opened the door. There sat a wagon full of men.
"Come on," they said. "We go in unity. Sims shamed us."
The wagon took off up the road. Thumpity thump, bumpity bump. Hours later, they made it to town. The wind howled like a blare of bugles. The flags flapped like snare drums. Folks crowded the street. Sims didn't recognize their hard faces. Papa got out of the wagon first. Out of the crowd came Mr. Jones, the storekeeper.
"Samuel T," he said, "I'm voting with you."
The two men walked together across the town square to the courthouse. This picture goes across two pages also. On one page, we see Mr. Jones, who's a, a white man. He's wearing a white shirt and a bow tie and brown pants that are held up with suspenders. He has a mustache and dark brown hair. And behind him, there's some other men that are also white men, but there are also some African-American men behind him. On the other page, we see Sim's father. And he's wearing sort of a beige shirt. He doesn't have a tie on. His pants are also held up with suspenders. And behind him, there are more African-American men. And way behind them, there are a few more white men.
"I'm Samuel T. Blow," said Papa. "I've come to vote."
"Make your mark," said the clerk.
Sim said, "My papa can sign his name." Papa wrote his name. The clerk handed him a ballot. Papa made a choice, and then he said, "Sims, come over here. Let's put the ballot in the box together." Sims grinned. Papa voted. Lamar County changed. And the last picture in this book is Sims and Papa standing together at the ballot box, which is a wooden box with a slot in the top of it, and they are putting a piece of paper down through the slot, which is the vote that Papa got to make. The end.
Thank you for listening to our bedtime stories. Sweet dreams.